Today is Tuesday, May 21st, 2019. This is a Grand Canyon Oral History Part 10 interview with Keturah Pennington, P-E-N-N-I-N-G-T-O-N. My name is Tom Martin. Good afternoon, Keturah. How are you today?
Wonderful, thank you. And you?
Very good. Well, thank you so much again for taking us on this incredible journey through such an incredible place, Glen Canyon, as it was before the Glen Canyon Dam. And we left off at Grotto Canyon at mile 57.8.
Do we want to go back to Grotto, or are we heading down then to Dungeon?
We are at Grotto. We haven't done Grotto.
Grotto Canyon.
We finished off, where are we upstream from there? We finished off Catfish, that's right.
Yeah, we finished Catfish, and we've drifted down to Grotto.
Right.
And apparently this picture is from Grotto, looking back towards Catfish Canyon.
So this is an incredible photograph. The caption reads, mile 57.9, looking upstream from near the mouth of Grotto Canyon. Catfish Canyon Landing is at the right side of the picture. So looking upstream, there's appears to be a long sandbar on what would be River Wright. And that's the mouth of Catfish Canyon, where that sheer kind of brown wall is. Is that right?
I think Catfish and Grotto are both left bank canyons, aren't they? Let me go down to the map.
They very well might be. I'm lost. I don't know.
Well, I don't remember it as well as Phil. They're both left bank canyons. So
okay.
Let me get back to Grotto.
So looking upstream,
and I have a feeling that the river. You can see a bunch of greenery starting at the left edge of the map and running out almost to the center.
Yep.
And then there's a break in it and a bunch of greenery much lower, indicating it's probably much farther away, running from there off towards the right. And I believe that the river goes up and off to the right and around the sandbar that's sticking out. It looks like it's right below the greenery, but I'll bet there's river between that sandbar and the greenery and the entrance to Catfish Canyon is off the picture to the right.
Okay, that would make perfect sense.
And the river then at the lower, smaller part of the greenery is running between us and the greenery, but upstream is to the left, and it goes around the end of the greenery and back to the right again, just over that low ridge.
Well, I was thinking that the Hermitage would be at the base of those cliffs.
The striped ones.
Yeah, way off in the distance there. Is that right? Okay. And so these canyons are coming in from our right. In this view.
Mm-hmm. They're left right. Bank canyons. That,
yes.
I think, to river runners is unambiguous.
That's right.
Left bank means on the river's left side as you face downstream.
Right, correct. Yeah. And this picture is just gorgeous. It's blue sky, white fluffy clouds, cliffs in the far, far distance that look thousands of feet overhead.
Yeah.
And near cliffs that are a good 300 feet high.
I think the far, far distance is probably the Kaparowitz Plateau, isn't it?
I would assume so. I have to go back to the map.
What I'm fumbling for right now.
Scurry back and forth and look. So if we're looking upstream from Catfish, Navajo Point would be up there from Grotto and Catfish on the Kaparowitz. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. How pretty is that?
And steps. Oh, well, I lost myself.
Lost in Glen Canyon again.
Grotto. Okay.
Grotto, yes.
Yeah, there. Okay, I'm back to Grotto now. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that the White Cliffs in the far distance is the Kaparowitz Plateau.
Okay.
And you see how high that cliff is, but that only gets down to the top of the cliffs above the river here.
Right.
So there's another 1,000 feet of cliff below the White Cliffs up there.
Yeah,
big country.
Really is, and really puts it in wonderful perspective there. From down at the river, right at the water's edge, looking up past the near cliffs, and then these far distant towering cliffs way out in the distance. Very pretty. Now, there's a link here to a page called April 1963.
Yeah, that'll be flooding.
And again, it was March that the reservoir started impounding behind the dam in a serious way. And the reservoir has just started to fill, is April 1963 photograph. So in this picture, there is a tandem fold boat. Looks like it's towing a little rubber raft.
Yeah, and I don't know why that raft is empty, but it is.
Unless somebody's swimming and they jumped out for a reason.
Oh, yeah. Let me see if I can enlarge that any. That could be Pat swimming. The tandem full boat is two foreign students that none of us ever knew very well. We didn't know them before the trip. We didn't know them after the trip.
Okay.
So our only acquaintance with them was then. They spoke English. Oh, no, I think the person in that raft, I think you're right, they're towing it all right. I think the person in the raft is lying down sleeping, or possibly photographing clouds up above.
Uh-huh.
Probably not sleeping.
Okay.
But anyway, these two foreign students understood English very well. I mean, they were studying in English. We had no trouble communicating with them, but they paddled somewhat ahead of most of us into a flooding, a canyon that was in the process of being flooded. And there was a sort of an island that had been caused by the floodwaters. There was water all the way around this high point of land. And some Navajo sheep had gotten trapped there.
Oh.
The Boy Scouts had camped on that island, and they were pursuing the sheep vigorously. And the Boy Scouts were yelling, "Get that sheep! Get that sheep!" And these two boys heard that, but they heard it in Italian or whatever language they spoke, translated into English as, "Get that ship." And they thought the Boy Scouts were about to pursue them.
Oh, my gosh.
We met them paddling out at a really fast pace. And when they told us their story, it didn't take us long to figure out what was really going on, especially when we saw the sheep running around. But, yeah, that's just one of the little interesting stories about things that went on down there. A lot of things got trapped on what became islands and couldn't get off to some place where they could get out
and
get away.
Right.
And, of course, sheep don't swim really well.
Mm. No, not with that much, with a thick woolen coat.
So I don't even remember those boys' names. Let's see if I can figure out. Boy, I don't know who's in that other kayak either. I know whose kayak it was.
So in April of 63, is this the trip where you all hiked down the hole in the rock?
Did we? Well, I'm sure we did in April. Yeah, it was. We hiked down hole in the rock at least three different times.
Okay. and started.
But yeah, I recognize that kayak. I made two kayaks during this whole thing.
Okay.
And sold one of them. And the person who owns that kayak, or owned it at that time anyway, isn't there. So somebody borrowed that kayak from him. And I am trying to enlarge this enough to see who that might be.
Hmm.
And I don't recognize. This was a really big trip.
Was
it? Biggest. 20-some people, 26 maybe.
Wow.
Different people. And boy, I can't make my thought there. Oh, that seems to be a beard. I didn't know we had any bearded people on our. Okay, no, I'm sorry. I can't identify those folks for you.
Okay, no worries. But clearly the reservoir has come up maybe 30 feet, maybe 40 in a pretty small amount of time.
Oh, yeah, this is April 63, and when did you say the gates were shut?
March something, I have to look up
exactly. 63?
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, yeah, it's really come up a bit, that's quite
true. And I remember somewhere I read people were really surprised at how fast the reservoir backed up into Glen Canyon. You know, it doesn't have a real steep gradient. So,
well, if you think though of a hollow-stemmed wine glass, the bottoms of the canyons were really narrow.
Right.
And if you pour a quarter cup of liquid into a hollow-stemmed wine glass, it really rises up that hollow stem
right.
fast.
That's right. That's right.
And then when you pour another quarter cup in, it spreads out and it takes
slows way down.
Several quarter cups to rise another half inch in the glass.
That's right.
So that's exactly what was happening. Mm. We were losing our canyons really fast, which is why we were pushing our trips so hard.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. So I'm going to go back to the Grotto Canyon page.
Return to Grotto. Okay.
And the second picture down says, Grotto Canyon is short but quite spectacular. What are we looking at here?
Fairly near the entrance, it was broad. We're in an alcove. You can see
parts
of the alcove on the left margin and on the very top right corner. Big slopes, but greenery, broad at the bottom with greenery.
Okay.
And it wasn't very far back to that jump up. And that's it. It was beautiful, but not very long.
And the third photograph is, it ends with a spectacular jump up. And this really is some amazing sandstone here in what must be some sort of waterfall type thing. And somebody looks like they've scrambled up a little bit, maybe to a pool up above.
I went up that far.
Okay.
And to drop the rope and get everybody up, we'd have climbed up through the water. And I'm looking over the lip into a somewhat larger pool there. It's quite deep. And just beyond and to the left and upstream is a jump up that we weren't going to get over. So I don't think anybody else even bothered to come up through the little waterfall there.
Okay, that would make sense. It just looks very, very pretty.
Let's see. Some of those people I can identify. The red shorts is the person who I talked to today that has pictures that she's willing to share.
Is Pat Armstrong?
Yeah, she's Pat Armstrong now.
Okay, All right.
If she's labeled here, if Phil has labeled her in any pictures, it'll be Pat and up here then.
Okay.
To her right is Sam Green. I think the one to his right is Helen McGinnis's brother. I think his name was David, but I don't really remember.
Okay.
And I don't know the one at the far right.
Well, it looked like a short walk, and everybody walked up there.
Yeah, and it was pretty all the way around. You can see how high the water table that created springs and enough water for the maidenhair fern and mimulus and whatnot to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a very verdant canyon, lovely.
And then the last picture is looking downstream from the mouth of Grotto Canyon to Dungeon Canyon.
Yeah, Dungeon Canyon is the first sunlit V in the left bank wall.
Okay, so
it's
center...
It's above the sunlit sandbar.
And that sandbar is on River Wright, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, what a gorgeous looking camp down there for a sandbar. Gee whiz.
Oh, all of our camps were gorgeous looking.
Wow.
Well, not the ones in the alcoves were different,
mm-hmm,
but they
right?
were wonderful.
That
there
is...
wasn't a single bad camp anywhere on the Glen Canyon River.
Wow.
There is now down there in that same area. That, you know, they're flat, hard rock, not soft sand that you could dig a little hole in. There's no firewood around now. There was all you needed.
Hmm.
Most of the campsites were a number somewhere between 1 and 5 for in my nomenclature, how many steps it takes from where I put the fire to where I could get enough firewood.
Yeah.
It was just easygoing, wonderful, welcoming, providing anything you wanted. It was there. If you wanted shade, you had it. If you wanted to suntan, you got it. If you wanted to listen or watch the birds and were patient enough and nobody bugged the birds, they were there.
Gosh.
Everything.
Nice.
Yes, wonderful. So,
well, we'll go down to Dungeon.
Right.
At 56.2 mile. Incredible picture starts this off with a sunset shot. Sunrise, actually. It says probably a sunrise looking downstream at Rock Creek. And that would make sense. If it's looking downstream, it's looking west, and the cliff is all lit up. Well, there's a low gray clouds, and the sun is coming through. It's really stunning. Big.
The caption means that Phil wasn't real sure when he took it, but he looked at the map and saw where the sun would be to light that cliff, and it has to be sunrise.
It makes perfect sense.
It makes
perfect sense.
Right.
The next photograph is of Dungeon from the air.
Right.
And this is stunning because it shows the river. The plane is probably 2,000 feet above the ground, maybe 3. And it shows the river, Dungeon is on the right side of the river, if I get... Sorry.
No, Dungeon's on the left bank.
South side.
Yeah, I guess. I can never remember if we...
Hang on a second. I'm gonna go to the map.
Okay.
I'm gonna go to the lower map.
It's on the left bank. All the...
Dungeon, yeah. Coming from the south to the north. But on this section of river that it's taking, the river is actually turning to the north, or actually to the northwest. All right,
uh-huh.
Looking at Phil's map here. So
yeah.
So there's this incredible picture from the plane looking down the, and so if that's northwest, we're looking south. What a tight little canyon, slick rock all around it, but it looks like you can go up it quite a ways.
Yeah.
Maybe a mile or so. I mean, it looks
like...
And
it's narrow.
Right, yeah.
From the start, it's narrow.
Really
always.
Narrow. So there's a photograph from the mouth of Dungeon looking out, and I see boats are on the right, and there's somebody standing there, arms outstretched, holding some gear on the left on a big flat bar. And it looks like at high water... The river backs up in here and drops all this sediment to make...
Yeah, I'm sure that's the case.
To make a wonderful bench there.
But we all, you know, got into the canyon before we tied up our boats, really.
But hang on, because the next picture now says most of this canyon is wider at the bottom than at the top. In June, when the water is high, many parters use rafts to ferry passengers past this long swim near the mouth. Okay, wow. That's really gorgeous. The sunlight is coming in in spots, in places,
yeah.
and lights up the river that's, it just reminds me of a Venetian canal somehow.
Well, you commented on the sandbar there where the figure is holding gear. That's me holding the rope in my right hand.
Okay.
And probably somebody's, oh, I do remember. It's somebody's wet pants.
Okay.
They took them off when they realized how much water weighting there was going to be, and I volunteered to carry them back to their partner.
Got it.
But the sand that I'm standing on is probably underwater in this next picture.
Okay.
The top picture is September of 62, and the bottom picture is June of 62.
All right. Okay, so in June, the water would have been up, and it would have flooded right on in there. This is really fascinating.
We can't. Never mind.
Really fascinating to get a sense of the river flooding up into these side canyons mm-hmm. during high water, and then
yep.
and then receding out of them when it dropped back down again. Really fascinating. I just think about little ecological niches and what may have been growing there, etc.
And then the river came up.
Yeah.
You going to click on next 2 years now?
No, but okay, here we go. It's just like, no! I don't want to see. Oh, my God. Okay, so four photographs have popped up here.
Around.
June 62. Most of this canyon is wider at the bottom than the top. Okay, and then the next photograph is April 63. The end room in Dungeon Canyon, the location of the cover photo on Elliot Porter's The Place No One Knew. It's flooded in April of 63. So this is a jump up here, and it looks like you can boat right to the base of the jump up fall. Is that right?
I think it's not a jump up. I think the river turns left.
Oh, okay.
That's my kayak there, and we kayaked a fair distance in because, you know, this was narrow at the bottom. The water fills it up fast, and we kayaked a long way in.
Okay.
And Phil is very good at recognizing photos, skylines, and everything. And he recognized this as the place that Elliot Porter had taken and put on the cover of his book. So he,
okay.
you know, get your kayak in there, no, a little ahead, move to the left. Until he got the picture he wanted. And
September 62. So this is a flat, sandy wash bottom slot canyon that's
right.
maybe 20 or 30 feet wide and just towers up overhead for hundreds of feet.
Mm-hmm. Wider at the bottom than it is at the top.
Really gorgeous.
And not very wide at the bottom.
Right. And then, is that a picture of you in the kayak there?
Yeah. He's ahead of me.
Okay.
In this one. And turned around and got that picture.
Cool.
Podium. And then comes June of 63.
And by June of 63, nothing is left of Dungeon Canyon. This is absolutely amazing. The water has gone up high enough. It's clearly come up 100, 150 feet, maybe 200 feet.
Yeah, I don't have any idea how high.
And Dungeon Canyon is entirely...
Oh, probably more than that even. I don't know, but
yeah.
There are records that would tell
That's
that.
Right. That's right. Wow. That's just amazing. And then the bottom picture is back to the aerial view from
mm-hmm.
the plane.
So to show that big wall that was then flooded and we
right.
were up on the flat. Okay, return to Dungeon?
Yes, return to Dungeon. And there's a photo, then the last photo on this page is of five people, and the caption reads, "We occasionally met other parties. Here's one which used yellow rafts to get across the swim. They asked me to take a picture of them with your camera, so I asked them to reciprocate. Here's the picture they took with my camera while I stood with their group. Can anyone tell us who they were? Yeah, no kidding. Gosh, they're wearing life. Is that you standing there in the blue pants?
No, I'm not on this trip.
Okay.
Bill is the one on our far right.
Okay, all right.
In the dark swim trunks.
Got it. He's a strong man.
Yes, he was very strong.
And
we put that strength to good use.
Yeah,
many times.
He looks like he's a very athletic guy. He's got a lot of muscle definition. And the other people on the trip, there's two guys in red life jackets.
Life preservers, yeah.
Kind of barrel chested guy and a
he didn't get any names.
Gosh.
I guess that can anyone tell us who they were? He's asking other people who were on that trip. I wasn't on that trip.
Oh, okay.
And he was asking other people if they remembered or wrote it down anywhere.
Yeah. Dungeon Canyon is one of the most popular and one of the most photographed in Glen. Okay. Well, all right.
It is very spectacular, and it was worth people's time to go into it. But there are others that were equally good and, in my opinion, possibly better.
Really? Oh, my. Okay. Well.
Well, some people like one thing and some like another.
Yeah, you know, that's right. Let's continue. It says continue in Dungeon Canyon. So I'm going to continue. Oh, boy, the next picture is people are in knee-deep mud. In September, that swim at the entrance has a lot less water and a lot more mud. Okay, well, that makes perfect sense.
The back person is Helen McGinnis.
Okay.
Whom I hope to get you in touch with about slides. And she's the one who was prone and swimming through mud in Forgotten Canyon.
That's right. I remember that picture.
And this one, she came prepared with her life preserver to keep her face out of the mud in case it got that bad again.
For her. Yeah, so did the other person in there that's slogging along is wearing their jacket as a life preserver as well.
Yeah, I think that's Steve Cafferata, but I can't say for absolute positive on that one.
And the next picture down shows two men walking away from the canyon. They're walking over sand, looks like beach sand. And they're in the narrow, narrow little slot canyon. It's gorgeous.
As I remember it, it may have been mud, but I don't remember. The floor was easy. It was fairly level, not rocky.
Right. And at one point, the mud would transition to sand, and so maybe they've just cleared that. But it's a light, the light coming in from above, the Dungeon Canyon name, really. Makes sense. Just because of the light. It's dark down there and the light comes in from up above. The next picture has three people in life jackets. One is looking up.
Yeah, on the left is Helen. On the right is Steve.
Okay.
So I'm pretty sure the one I said was Steve earlier is Steve. And probably the middle one is Helen's brother.
Okay. Dungeon provided excellent camera shots and was a favorite of photographers. Yeah, I can see why. Golly. The classic camera shot in Dungeon. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Sandy bottom and light coming in, raining in from above with the dark, dark walls. Gee. The next 2 years. All right, so we saw this. We were here. Right. So did you guys camp at Dungeon at all?
No.
Okay.
There were much better campsites.
All right.
Oh. We hit it in the middle of the day. We wouldn't have camped that early anyway.
Right. Okay. And what a great time to be in there midday with the light streaming in like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so go down to mile 55, Rock Creek.
This was the December trip, the first December trip.
So what, tell me about the first December trip.
That's, well, when we saw an alcove where Phil and I had camped, started to rain and snow, and we saw a lot of little waterfalls sprout up.
Yes.
And then other pictures with snow up on the mountains, very pretty, frosted with white.
Mm-hmm.
And then the river began to freeze.
Okay.
I suspect, is the alcove that we camped in and watched the snowstorm.
Okay.
And the river was frozen. You can see, 10, 12 feet out. It froze along the shore. And Phil is breaking the ice so that we can get the kayak, which you can see in the lower right corner of the picture.
I see.
Back to the open water out there.
Okay. And here in 62, actually all these trips, was the takeout at Cane Creek, or are you going to pass that and be able to go down to Waweep and down to the dam? I'm jumping ahead, I know you'll explain that. But
we could never go past Crossing of the Fathers because the rafts, that was the last place the road hit the river.
Got it.
And the rafts
okay.
couldn't go upstream.
Okay. All right.
So we always
stop there.
Except for the Labyrinth Canyon trip.
Okay.
So
how is... how?
No. Some of the later trips, when just Phil and me, we didn't need to take out there.
Okay.
Because we had the kayaks, and kayaks could go upstream.
Right. Oh, so you could go down and then turn around and paddle back up.
Right.
Wow. Okay. Great. So Phil's got a ways to go to get to open water there. How's he going to manage that?
Well, he only had to get enough cracked up to get the kayaks in, and then we could get in the kayaks. The ice is very, very thin right there. It's,
okay.
It only had one night to freeze. You know, sort of like you find on the road puddles, it's frozen over, and it goes tinkle, tinkle when you step on it. It's not very thick.
What's he using there to break the ice?
A piece of driftwood.
Okay.
I mean, a board.
Plywood, yeah. A sort of board. All
drifted
right.
down. Yeah, it's not plywood. I
okay.
was surprised, but it was a thick board, and we were lucky to find it. Otherwise, we would have had to use probably our boots or something.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was no big problem. It's just interesting that the river had started to freeze along the edge and had frozen very thinly out part way. So we knew that we might be heading for trouble.
You could think, this is going to be freezing in on us. But you got to go anyway, so.
Yeah, there was no sitting around.
All right.
But back to summer in the next picture.
Yeah, it is. It's a couple people in shorts. They're certainly not worried about ice right there. Green vegetation.
Yeah.
And fascinating.
That arm strong at the top and me at the bottom in the plaid shirt.
Okay.
And there you can see how in some places they stashed brush along the right side and then flattish rocks. I don't say flat rocks, but flattish rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And we found it easier to go down the slick rock, but we weren't cheap. So.
Mm-hmm. All right. And that goes right up to the skyline up there.
Well,
I mean,
yeah, the skyline isn't very far away, and that's just a false summit.
Okay.
It leveled off for a little and then kept climbing.
Phil
has another picture, though. He was very good at remembering where these landmarks were.
Okay.
And the water at that time is up higher than what Pat is now.
Oh, all right.
Not quite up. You could still see those two sticks sticking up at the top of the...
Okay.
On the skyline there. But
how far are you from the river surface there? Are you up quite a ways? Are you a couple hundred feet up, or is this down?
Oh, I don't think it was a couple hundred feet, but
okay.
It may have been 60 or so.
Okay.
I don't know. Pat and I are probably, 12 feet, 15 feet below what the water level was at his second picture.
Okay.
So if we could figure out what week in, let's see, what week in April that would have been. This picture was taken in September of 62.
Okay.
And whatever week we were there in April, the water was, as I say, higher than Pat is now.
Okay, all right. And that makes sense. Yeah, it had come up a good 30 feet or so.
Oh, at least, yeah.
By April of 63. Yeah. Okay. And then the next picture.
That's where the sheep trail sort of ended.
Okay, so it went up to the slick rock on top of the cliff of the riverside cliffs, and then in theory you could work your way around the far higher up cliffs to get out to open land, I bet.
Yeah, well, you can see there's actually a fairish amount of vegetation. I wouldn't say grass, but sheep will eat it anyway.
Right.
Tucked among the rocks here, and I don't know how much farther up they took their sheep. We didn't spend a lot of time looking because we were eager to get going.
Right. And the caption here says, looking downstream from the top of the sheep trail, this is the top of the 4-mile fetch, the longest straight stretch of canyon in Glen. When the wind blew strongly in its direction, hand power craft were at its mercy and kayaks had difficulty making headway in a headwind. That's Gunsight Butte in the far background. Okay. Yeah, that would be terrifying. Wind out of the southwest, you'd be stopped. Gosh, do you remember that? Do you remember the wind really whipping through there?
I don't think the wind ever whipped when we were there.
Okay.
Because our almost all of our party were always in rafts, and we didn't have to sit out any time waiting for the wind to quit for the rafts to move.
Okay.
I suspect it didn't really happen very often, but when it did, it was spectacular.
Oh, yeah. Gosh. And then the last photo on this page says a wall in one of the small side canyons along the left bank in the 4-mile fetch. Canyon might be Katie Lee's little dungeon. We found disagreements in the names of these canyons as we researched them. Oh, that makes sense. It's really pretty. Little slot canyon.
Yeah, we had a little trouble sometimes distinguishing which name she put to which canyon, but
yeah.
I suppose if we got her pictures and ours, we might be able to figure it out, but nobody, as far as I know, ever has.
So this sheep trail is, maybe 150 to 200 feet above the river, it looks like.
I would imagine, yeah.
At the top there, okay. Was there a cairn or some sort of pile of stones to mark the fact that the trail headed off the cliff edge there?
Oh, you're thinking about that funny-looking cairn that we saw in another picture?
Well, I just kind of wondered, you know, I'm going back up to the picture of the two of you working your way down the cliff by the trail.
I have a feeling that the Navajo, by the time they had spent so many days working on that trail, could have walked to it in the dark.
Why, they knew where it was, sure.
Yeah, and okay. They're the only ones who cared.
Hmm.
So,
yeah.
I don't remember any cairn, but, you know, it could have fallen over, blown over, or never been there.
Right. Well, let's go to Little Dungeon.
And back to winter.
Oh, Burr. Little Dungeon Canyon at mile 52.3. The first photograph is taken from the nose of a kayak looking, it looks like the 4-mile fetch. Yep, sure enough.
Yep.
Looking downstream along the 4-mile fetch just above Little Dungeon Canyon. This is December of 1962. And the icebergs are winning. There's open water, but it looks like the icebergs are going to take care of that soon.
Yeah. They're not very firm icebergs now, though, as you can possibly tell, the kayak is crashing through them.
Okay. So you were able to push through, but this would be on its way to freezing solid.
Yeah, we kept thinking about that. Looking at the map. where is there land along at the base of the cliff, and where is there not?
Uh-huh.
Some of our party, not our party, some of the hiking clubbers got stuck when it did freeze bank to bank. So, as I say, we kind of worried about it. But...
Yeah, it's really... I would imagine it would be cause for concern. So that's Gunsight Butte, then, way down in the distance?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to run away to the map for a minute. A Lower Canyon map. And I'm going to look for Crossing of the File. Look for Gunsight Butte. I don't see that. Grotto. Okay, I see the long fetch there. And Little Dungeon is about 3/4 of the way down the fetch, this big long straightaway.
Uh-huh.
So I'm trying to see, but... okay.
So sight down and to the right. I'm not on the map, so...
Yeah. That's...
Okay, lower map. Oh. Gunsight Butte isn't on the map. Gunsight Canyon is.
Right.
So
it's down there somewhere, and that's...
Yeah.
Yeah. So looking upstream along the 4-mile fetch just below the Little Dungeon, that river left is a long series of cliffs, a couple hundred feet high. They come right down to the water. Really gorgeous. Pretty open sky. And then Little Dungeon Canyon, there's a photograph of a woman in a red shorts wearing a hat. Is that Carla? It says Carla Selby?
Yeah.
Okay. The mouth of Little Dungeon. Really pretty light in that picture, especially up above, the upper part of that photograph. The cliffs,
yeah.
Cliffs up there are just sort of all golden. They're sort of like just on fire on the inside.
When the sun hit them, they were really glowing.
Yes.
And it kept going up from there.
So I'm going to read this caption here. It says, Little Dungeon doesn't have overhanging walls as Dungeon has. We had difficulty identifying the canyons here along the left bank of the 4-mile fetch, mile 51 to 55, with Katie Lee's list. This is the next to last canyon before West Canyon Creek. It may be the one Katie Lee called Dove. We called the last one Dove. Katie might have called that one Happy Canyon. So there's a photograph here. Is that Carla in the red shorts there?
Yeah.
Okay, and then who's behind her?
Sam Green.
Okay, and then it looks like that's the end, but does it keep going there?
I think they're coming back. I think they're going downstream at the moment.
Yes, and so you think that's about as far as they could make going up?
Oh, no. No, I'm sure it wasn't.
Oh, okay.
Phil, I am thinking, shall I say this, and I'm going to say it anyway, because Sam is no longer with us, and I don't know where Carla is. Carla was the most dainty person I have ever known.
Mm-hmm.
And Phil felt no one would believe that she was in mud up to her knees unless he had pictures of it. but as you can see in the picture previous, she's muddy pretty far up.
She's there, yep.
And in this one, you can tell that her knee is muddy already.
Yep, nope, she's in it. She's in the thick of it. There's no escape.
Somehow she managed to to have a white shirt. I think she's the only one of us who ever...
I was going to say that...
White. No, we might have worn shirts that started out white.
Right.
I don't think there's any pictures of any of us in white shirts except for Carla.
Well, she gets the award for the whitest white shirt at
right.
River Mile 50. That's great. And then below that is a looking up from the top of the jump up climb in Little Dungeon.
Yeah, we came to several jump ups, and sometimes we do a three-man shoulder stand
okay.
to get the rope up there.
Hmm. All right, to get up the next level?
Yeah. We were very determined. These canyons were great. The farther downstream you got, the greater the canyons got, and the harder we worked to get up them.
Hmm.
The upstream canyons, we might quit.
Okay.
Fairly soon.
Well, yeah, they were wide and open. I remember those photographs. You know, you were just like, well, we just figured we could get out here, so we turned around and went back.
Yeah.
But these are like, whoa, these are really tight little slot canyons that are worthy of exploring.
They were very much worth exploring. Okay, so down to Dove?
Down to Dove. Uh-oh, ice again. 51.4. Now there's...
Yeah, Phil sorted his pictures by mile.
Right.
And...
So that makes sense.
A winter trip, one showed the mile of wall that he wanted to see. Well, that's the one he took.
And so is that... are those the... On the left, it looks like it's the tandem full boat?
No, that's a different one. That's... Margaret Young and Jim Richards.
Okay. And is that you on the right?
And that's me on the right.
And this would be toward the end of the fetch, is that right?
Yeah, we're coming down towards Dove Canyon.
Okay.
Just in the shadows, it's hard to pick it out and not worth it.
It looks pretty cold. There's ice... It's sort of trying to kayak your way through these icebergs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. And then
when they got bigger and firmer, we sometimes rammed ourselves up on them. Even the rafts could ram themselves onto them and ride them down. And the change in perspective once you were floating with the ice was really very striking.
Like that.
Most interesting.
So the next picture down after the ice, the boating on the ice photo, is the landing at Dove Canyon. It's about a mile upstream of West Canyon Creek. That's Gregory Butte looming over the West Canyon Creek. On the left, on the right is the river in ice, and on the left in shade, looks like it's a giant sandbar.
Yeah.
Is that right
mm-hmm.
there? Okay.
Yeah.
And it'd be a good place for a camp if you wanted, but...
Yeah, I suppose it would have been.
Might be a little wet.
We did better.
Okay.
We did the Anasazi alcove, but
well,
I don't really know where most people camped in on the winter trip.
Hmm.
But anyway, yeah.
Hopefully in a warm alcove with a fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, gee. So this December 1962 photograph, it shows an individual standing in the sun on the right next to the river. Behind them are two people in shadow.
Mm.
And is that above Dove Canyon or is that West Canyon Creek down there?
I think we're at Dove Canyon here.
Okay.
And sometimes I can make these pictures expand, but I'll be blessed if I can get... And I don't know people's winter... Oh, let's see, this must be Phil's kayak in the foreground.
Okay.
And he probably just stepped out of it and
that would make sense.
Picture.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure that my kayak is down a little farther.
Okay. So that might be you standing there?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's my paddle.
Maybe that's Margaret and Jim down there behind you, past you.
I don't know, but I think I just really, really goofed.
Huh? Uh-oh.
And I don't know how to get myself back except to go clear back to the bloody beginning. This is going to take me a while.
No worries. I'll look at pictures in the meantime.
Okay. Oh, I may have really loused myself up. All right, computer. If you want to live past tonight, you better...
Wow. Wow, I'm just looking at these photographs here in Dove Canyon, just going, oh my heavens.
Okay. Well, I'm back to Dove Canyon now.
Well, let's go to the...
Now let me get to where you are.
Okay, I'm looking at the three people that are wading in water up to their armpits as they try to work their way along and into Dove Canyon. Starts with a long swim.
One of a very few pictures that Phil didn't take. That's Phil closest to us.
Okay.
And me in the plaid shirt in the middle.
Okay.
And I don't think I can say with certainty who the next two are. Phil and me are the only two. And Helen McGinnis took the picture.
Okay. What's really fascinating here is this water line that is 10 feet, 15 feet over your heads.
Right. That was from when the dam diversion tunnels accidentally got plugged up and the water rose for a few days.
Oh.
Weeks, I think.
Okay.
And you can see how much it rose and how much mud. Those mud cracks are an inch thick or more.
Okay.
It had already deposited an inch of mud.
Wow. Just there and then gone back down again. Oh, my gosh.
Right. And that, of course, is a matter of record somewhere, too. So you can see how much damage was done in just a few days.
Right. How high the water just shot right up and then went back down again. And then the next picture is December 62, above the swim, Dove Canyon is easy walking. So in December of 62, I would not want to have swam that. Was the water low enough for you guys to walk in there?
Let's see. In December of 62, that's not quite true. The water was high, and we boated in past all that mud.
Oh, okay. All right.
And got a lot farther back before we had to get out and walk.
Okay. And then there's a sidebar that says the next 2 years.
Yeah, that means Phil had pictures from...
Oh, so there you are working your kayak in there in June of 63.
Yeah.
Quite a ways up higher. And then...
And then in 64?
June of 64, Dove Canyon is completely inundated.
Yeah.
Wow. So I'm going to return to Dove Canyon. And then these last two pictures, I'm going to read the captions. So December of 62, this is one of the finest of the long, narrow canyons. As we walk up further and further, the light intensity gets less and less. The camera must be on a tripod for most of the pictures, and a rather long exposure, perhaps as much as 3 minutes, is needed. This results in blue pictures, and we came to know these canyons as the Blue Canyons. Absolutely stunning. Just tight slot canyons.
Yeah, but look at the texture on the wall and the twisting of them.
Yeah.
Imagine how floodwaters rushing through there must have banged first on this wall and then on the other.
Terrifying to think about in flood.
Yeah, right.
And then the last picture is one of the blue pictures, and it's like a black and white, only it would be called a blue and white. And the caption reads...
Yeah, Bill sometimes added a little bit of red to them.
Okay.
To give them a purple color.
Yeah, it's really just gorgeous.
He explains that here, yeah.
I'll read it out. The predominance of blue is a result of reciprocity failure in the emulsions of the Kodachrome film. As the light gets very dim, the responses of the three emulsions in the film no longer follow a simple linear relationship of image density to exposure time. The red and green sensitive layers are most affected by reciprocity failure. Twice the exposure time does not result in half the density of the transparency. The film is relatively blind to the red and green ranges of the spectrum. The blue sensitive layer remains much of the reciprocity relationship, so its response is still pretty good. The blue image remains while the red and green images are largely gone, hence the Blue Canyons. Wow. And this now has boulders on the bottom of the canyon floor.
Yeah, and very often the boulders are as wide as the canyon floor.
Wow.
Top three near the center, vertically, are an example of that.
I mean, it's as stunning or more so as Antelope Canyon. It's just a classic sandstone slot canyon. Really gorgeous.
I'm sorry, where are you now?
I'm still there. I'm looking at the blue picture. There. And then I guess continue in Dove Canyon. So absolutely, let's do that. Oh my gosh. So now there's more blue. Ansel Adams felt that these blue pictures were too chemical in appearance and strongly suggested that I find a cure for the problem. The originals are truly monochromatic, high saturation blue to white. To compensate a little, I've used Photoshop to add a little bit of second dimension to the color, mostly red. This makes the image closer to the actual appearance. When we hike these blue canyons, we often needed a flashlight to see, and what little illumination we had was usually from an intensely blue sky overhead. It's just absolutely gorgeous.
This was one of our favorite canyons.
And it looked like it just went on and on.
Yeah, it did.
Really, really nice. And again, it's maybe 20 feet wide, but sinuous, very curvy back and forth.
Yeah, I suppose that purpley one might have been 20 feet wide. Almost all of it, you could touch both walls.
Could you? Both hands.
At the same time.
Okay. Really, really fascinating. It would have been really neat to watch Phil kind of play with these in Photoshop just to rack his brain to try to get the colors right. Huh.
Yeah, as Ansel Adams pointed out, those weren't really the colors.
Right.
They were, it was just like being in a dark room. There wasn't much color, really. We didn't think of the walls as blue when we were standing in them. We thought of them as shaded.
Hmm.
Huh. Dark.
Well, it's just interesting. It's amazing that you got any photographs out of there at all.
Bill was very good.
Very good. No kidding. And then the last photograph caption of the Narrows says, the jump up in Dove Canyon that stopped most parties had a hole in the ceiling directly overhead. On our last visit there, we did a three-man stand to get to Keturah up to the hole. She then lowered her nylon rope with the loops, and the rest of us got up. We didn't push it much further. Too difficult and no pictures. What do you remember about that?
determined to get up.
Hmm.
And Bill is strong enough that he could be the bottom man on a three-man shoulder stand.
Wow. Who was in the middle?
Oh, on this one, I don't know. Maybe Steve Caffarella? I really don't know who was in the middle of this one.
So Phil would stand there, the next person would climb up on him and stand up on his shoulders, and then you would climb up Phil and up the person above him to get up on their shoulders.
Right, but Phil and I had done two-man shoulder stands so often that it was really fairly easy. He would stand and brace himself,
mm-hmm.
usually with his back or bottom against the wall, and cross his hands and extend them to me. And I would put one foot on a knee, and he would uncross his hands. As I pushed up, he raised me up, and there I was standing on his knee with his hands above his head,
okay.
and my next foot at his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And then all I had to do was turn around, or if it was just two of us, I'd climb up from there.
Wow.
So, okay. You know, he was also very good at the shoulder stand business. And so it wasn't real hard. It sounds impressive, but it wasn't.
It sounds impressive. So, well you think it's easy. I'm like, you had a human ladder. Wow.
The impressive part was that Phil was strong enough to hold two or three of us for long enough to get up.
Yeah.
He was very strong.
Wow.
Okay, so we're where?
So the next picture down is, it looks like you in the kayak on the far right, on
right.
the river just below Dove Canyon, West Canyon Creek ahead, entering the Colorado from behind a long, thin wall.
Can you see the wall?
It looks like it. So I can see a cliff with...
Just to the left of that very white streak coming in from the right.
What, the sand behind your head.
Yeah, sand in the sun.
Right. And then it looks like there's a small wall down there that's growing in size to the left.
Right. And the creek, West Canyon Creek, is behind that wall from where we're looking.
Okay.
So we're going to land over there on the shaded part of that sandy strip and walk in.
Not until we turn and take a look back up.
That's right.
The four-mile fetch, the lower end of the four-mile fetch. Dove Canyon is the first canyon on the right, just over the kayak. Okay, that's where we just were.
Yeah.
And now this is probably from down near the mouth of West Canyon, looking back up. Okay. That's gorgeous. And that little butte up there on the right, the little button. So, in the kayak, you're coming... Yeah, that's right. This is a... This must be an upstream view. Is that right? The lower end of the four-mile
fetch.
Yeah,
we're looking upstream.
Right, so you're coming toward...
Dove Canyon is a left bank canyon.
That's right. And so you're coming toward the camera in your kayak. Is that right?
My picture is so cloudy that unless...
You're center right. There's a kayak
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I think I'm just sort of...
Drifting along?
Okay. But,
Boy.
Yeah. The canyon is over there near me anyway.
Okay.
I can pick it up. No, I can't for sure.
Now let's go down to West Canyon.
Okay, West Canyon Creek. Ah, yes.
Okay, so here's once again... Gregory Butte, I'll read this, because a big butte there in the skyline with the river and a bunch of boats, and I recognize the thin wall that you told me about that's the entrance to West. So Gregory Butte from the river in front of Dove Canyon, West Canyon Creek is behind that long, thin wall where it joins the Colorado was a very large panel of petroglyphs. While the dam construction proceeded, the tunnels carrying the water around the construction site jammed with driftwood, causing the water to back up and form the bathtub ring we see in this and many other pictures. It also destroyed the petroglyph panel. Wow.
Yeah.
In December.
And those things, of course, the petroglyph panel and the pictographs will never come back.
No, no.
But we might get the rest of it back.
Mm. December of 62, trying to work through an ice flow down to the mouth of West Canyon.
Yeah, the wall behind which the canyon enters the river is reaching off to the right of the picture. We have to go farther right than the picture goes to get around the end of that wall.
Yes, okay.
But you can see snow on the sand dunes up above.
Yes, it looks very cold.
When the sun came out, it wasn't all that cold, but at night it was, yeah. We were all glad we had good warm sleeping bags, that there was plenty of firewood around.
I bet. And then the next picture is a picture of the canyon walls overhead reflected in the water below. And this picture...
That's one of Phil's arty pictures.
It definitely artsy-fartsy, boy. It's really gorgeous. It's titled, "This picture, the second picture in our Glen Canyon slideshow, was taken in West Canyon Creek. We have many stories to tell about West Canyon Creek, relatively few pictures, and they are run-of-the-mill Glen Canyon spectacular. Pictures will be added and perhaps some of the stories." So tell me a West Canyon story.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I can't think what stories he's talking about.
Really?
I can think of one, and it wasn't a winter trip story.
Okay.
We were camping on that sandbar, and I don't know why, but there were no rocks on that sandbar anywhere. And everybody, every night, would get themselves at least two and sometimes three rocks and build a little fire under it and set their pot on top and cook.
Uh-huh.
And here we are on a sandbar with no rocks. And you couldn't dig a pit in the sand because it kept caving in on you.
Okay.
People really scouted around, and some of the rocks that they used were pretty little. But even so, there were so few of them that there was this row of little fires. There was one rock and a little fire and another rock on the other side of that fire with a pot sitting on it. But if the second rock was possibly big enough, there was a fire on the other side of it and a rock on the other side of the fire, and two pots were sitting on the rock between the fires. And there was a line of, I think, four or five little fires, so that you got five pot holders with only six rocks.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Fires in between. And so that was one... You know, if we'd gone up the canyon, we would have probably found more rocks and so forth. But that was one of the stories.
Huh.
I can't remember what other ones he's thinking of now. Well, but if I think of them, why?
It makes sense.
If I think of them between now and when we talk again, I'll tell you.
If you were camped in the mouth of the canyon, it'd be all just sand and mud. It would be no rocks. Huh.
Yeah,
gosh.
Well, that happened once anyway. So occasionally the canyon wasn't quite as giving and generous as it might have been.
Did you walk? Would it go a long ways up there? Could you walk?
Yeah, we could and pretty much did, because we knew it was going to go, and if we didn't do it, why, we weren't going to do it ever.
Okay.
It wasn't like the uplands that we could come back next year and they'd still be up there.
I'm going to jump to the map for a minute. West Canyon comes in from the south. It's a fairly big canyon. Okay. And then Last Chance Creek is just downstream of that. Well, maybe this is a good place to call it.
Okay.
For part 10, we've been yik-yakking
you saw the Great Blue Heron tracks?
I did, and let's talk about that. This is still on this page for West Canyon. This is a weird picture because it almost looks like it's the negatives of positive prints.
Yeah.
if that makes any sense.
No, it's in mud, soft mud.
Right. But the footprints look like they're bumping up instead of depressed down in my mind's eye.
Yeah, that's just the lighting.
Isn't that something?
I wasn't on this trip either, but this is the first time that almost any of the party had seen great blue heron tracks, and they were amazed, impressed. You can see that somebody had come in and stood with their feet together there looking at those tracks, wondering what they were, and then other people came in from the other side and looked and so forth. And finally, somebody got them identified, but they were, some of them, beginning to wonder what they were likely to encounter in there.
Right,
and
right.
I think there were some pretty wild guesses. They knew it was a bird. Hmm. Emu?
Territorn? Yeah, it's a big bird. God.
Well, back where I grew up, we had the Rangoon legend.
Hmm.
In many creeks in the Midwest, there are almost round boulders of various sizes. And the story to the naive was that those were petrified Rangoon eggs.
Okay.
Rangoon was a prehistoric bird that was huge.
Hmm.
And so forth. And I imagine some stories of that nature went around here, too.
So, yeah, these would be Rangoon chick tracks.
On hiking club trips, there were two real jokesters in the bunch. Phil was one of them, and the other one never came on any of these Glen Canyon trips.
Uh-huh.
But I can imagine that there were stories about those great big tracks before they got identified. Okay, down to the last picture.
Down to the last one, which is just heartbreaking. It's this incredible picture looking upstream or downstream, and there's river and there's near cliffs, and in the far, far distance are big giant cliffs too. And it says, just below West Canyon Creek, perhaps, at mile 49.9.
Yeah, obviously we had pulled into a little slot. Possibly Phil and I were exploring.
Mm-hmm.
Once we got in, he turned around and saw a nice picture, and he was very alert to picture possibilities.
Thank heavens.
Did I tell you his film purchasing?
No.
Never mind.
Oh,
wait.
I think you did, that he was buying in bulk and cutting the stuff and loading his own reels.
He always did that because it was cheaper.
Yeah.
But his first trip, I believe he said he took 6 rolls of film, and he figured for a week a roll a day was probably going to be good. The next trip, he took 32 rolls, and other people tried to buy from him, and he wouldn't sell for any price. I mean, they upped the price.
Wow.
But nope, he came back with 32 rolls and wished he had more.
I bet. Yeah, this is the sort of place, if you had a lot of film, you could shoot a lot of film.
Okay, so until next time.
Until next time, and I'll wrap this up, but hold the line for a minute. Today is Tuesday, May 21st. This concludes Part 10, Oral History Interview with Keturah Pennington. My name is Tom Martin. Keturah, thank you so very, very much.